WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Hanson in for John Williams. And it's always great to chat with Greg McBride. And Greg, it's good to talk to you during the daytime. You usually join our show when I talk to you in the evening. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Always great to be with you, John, regardless of the time of day.
I appreciate that. We have done the landing of the plane analogy for so long now. Is there a transportation analogy that works for cutting 50 basis points off of our Fed rate? Is there something we can picture here to really understand what they're trying to do?
Letting the foot off the brake pedal. They had to slam on the brakes when inflation took off, raising interest rates at the fastest pace in 40 years. But now that inflation's come down and it's getting closer to where they want it to be, you don't need to keep pressing on the brake as hard. You don't want the car to slow down more and come to a stop. You want the economy to keep growing.
So this isn't the gas pedal.
Exactly. We're not giving juice to the economy. We're just seeing them ease off the brake a little bit, bring those interest rates down a bit so they're not such a headwind to the economy. The focus has shifted a bit, John. You and I used to talk about inflation numbers every month when that would come out. That was the most watched number on the economic calendar. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now it's about jobs. And the concern is if you keep rates too high too long, it could undercut that the health of the job market. And then that's obviously a much bigger problem economically.
Boy, there was that debate of 25 or 50, almost ad nauseum, and then we got 50. I was kind of surprised by it personally. Do you think that playing part of this was the fact that there just simply is not a meeting next month, that instead of, if perhaps this had come at a time where you had 2 months in a row, they could do 25, 25, and they just kind of added those 2 months together and said, well, we'll do 50 now because we're not meeting for a couple months, or am I really oversimplifying this?
Well, the interval between meetings is about the same. It tends to be about 6-7 weeks. They have 8 meetings a year. Sometimes that means that there's those 6 or 7 week gap, it falls in consecutive months, and other times it's going to skip a month. But the significance of that, of the point you're making is that, there's no meeting in October, is that we're going to get 2 jobs reports between now and when they meet again in November. And so taking out a little bit of insurance by making that bigger cut yesterday, I think reduces the risk that they fall behind the curve if one or both of those jobs reports that come out in the next couple of months come in on the weak side. I think the other thing is if they had a do-over, they probably would have cut rates in July by a quarter point. So again, another reason why make that larger half point cut. I got to be honest, John, I was reassured by it because it tells me they learned their lesson a little bit because they were hopelessly behind the curve on the way up. Right. They didn't get the memo on inflation. They were late to acknowledge it, late to do anything about it. And even when they started with baby steps. And they got a lot of egg on their face about that. So this tells me that maybe they've learned that lesson. Making the larger rate cut just right out of the gate buys them a little bit of insurance.
That's a great way to put it. I hadn't thought about that you're going to get the big number we're looking at now is unemployment in the jobs report. Okay, if you have 2 months that those are weak, boy, and you only did 25 points, then all eyes really become on what did they do wrong or what needs to happen next. Now you've kind of gone a little bit ahead of it. You mentioned July, the no cut. I wonder how much impact the first just couple months, remember when inflation kind of peaked its head back again at the beginning of the year? That really kind of changed the trajectory of what 2024 looked like from a rate perspective, right?
It really pushed the timetable back. The beginning of the year, forecasts were all over the map. Some were expecting as many as 6 rate cuts during the year. Some of us were forecasting only 2. But it was expected to come much sooner. But inflation didn't cooperate, right? It came in hot, really the first probably 4 months out of the year. And then only then did we start to get a better trajectory that then I think instilled a little bit of confidence that, okay, this is headed in the right direction and set things up for the Fed to be able to cut interest rates. But they couldn't start that process of cutting rates earlier in the year because the inflation numbers, frankly, were still too hot.
Yeah, I did one last point. We got to get going, Greg. But someone just texted in that they heard other experts saying that the half point is because the economy is either in very bad shape or that they're playing with politics. I'm going to throw the politics thing aside. I do not buy that argument. I imagine you don't either. Is this a sign of the economy's in very bad shape?
No, the economy is in good shape. I think it takes, and that's why you see the stock market up so sharply today, because taking that bigger step out of the gate, it increases the odds of being able to engineer that soft landing, which it was would be good for continued economic growth, growth in corporate profits, and ultimately that is necessary to push stock prices higher. So I think, you know, that gets the connection you're seeing.
All right, Greg McBride from Bankrate. We'll talk soon, okay?
Appreciate it, John. Thanks.
Bree Fowler joins us right now, senior writer over at CNET. Bree, as always, good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be with you.
Reading this story about what Instagram is doing to make teen accounts safer, I read each of these things that they're trying to change about them, and I think, well, that's a half measure. That doesn't seem like it's going to work. But Bree, I guess when you add a lot of this up, this could make a difference. Walk us through some of these changes.
Well, people who are, you know, very much in favor of, you know, changing Instagram to protect kids say this is the first step. It's not everything, but it's something. And what Instagram is doing is it's restricting what kids and teenagers can see and what they can't see. And it's making their accounts private by default, which, you know, hopefully cracks down on maybe the potential weirdos that could be reaching out to teens.
That's the technical term, too? The potential weirdos? Okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
I gotcha.
Kids share stuff all the time, and they don't think about what's going out there. And, you know, adults do this, too. You know, locking down your account and making sure that, you know, your friends on social media are your actual friends is always a good idea, no matter how old you are. But it's going to turn these things on for teenagers by default. And it's going to, you know, start looking at ages of kids. You know, there's nothing really stopping kids from lying about their age on Instagram. I've caught my teenage daughter doing this. But, you know, it's going to roll out tech to kind of define who's a teenager and who isn't. And in addition to kind of restricting what they see and, you know, who they share stuff with inadvertently, it's also going to have sleep timers that, you know, will let them know if they've been on there for an hour. Limit notifications at night, things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll have to wait and see the differences it makes. And there's ways to pretend like you're not 18, though they think that they've got answers for that as well. And when it says the accounts will be private by default, that seems to indicate that the teen could then go, no, I want to be public. Is that possible?
That is totally possible. The settings will be turned on by default. 16 and 17-year-olds are going to be able to turn them off. Kids younger than that are supposedly going to have to ask a parent to get permission, but it's kind of unclear how that would work exactly. And, you know, if the kids aren't using their real birth date, then is that going to kick in anyway? These are things that parents really need to sit down and talk to their kids about and make sure that they're monitoring what they're seeing online, what they're sharing, who they're sharing it with. I mean, it's something that I talk about with my kids all the time.
Yeah. AI is that other frontier that all of us, kids, adults, everyone seems to be concerned about, though there's a lot of amazing things we can do now with AI. Mm-hmm. California is cracking down on AI, but just in one kind of specific area, right?
Yeah, this is dealing with fake images or videos that are included as part of political ads. Governor Gavin Newsom in California has signed three bills, actually, to regulate this. One that takes effect immediately and makes it illegal to create and publish deepfakes related to the elections 120 days before Election Day and 60 days after that. It also allows courts to stop the distribution of materials and impose civil penalties if they see fit.
Interesting. Yeah, and I think that, you know, AI as a whole, we have a lot of things we can regulate and debate about what would slow down the development of AI, et cetera, et cetera. But there seems to be bipartisan support for trying to keep that out of our elections.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things, though, where, you know, it's tough to regulate when a lot of people in politics don't really understand it yet. And even those of us who are super tech savvy, like, we have no idea where AI could lead or what it's really capable of. And California has really been, you know, the epicenter of this because so many AI companies are based there and work there. And there's such a, you know, presence of the tech industry in general. They have a lot to gain from AI, but they also, you know, California is at the forefront of regulation in lots of areas, too. So we'll see where this leads.
We've heard about cyber attacks on hospitals, on so many different places that just kind of breaks your heart sometimes, small businesses. I have never heard of a cyber attack against an airport. What happened in Seattle?
Yeah, hackers are demanding $6 million in Bitcoin from the operator of Seattle's airport. They stole documents during a cyber attack last month, and they're putting them on the dark web. Seattle's airport says they are not going to pay. You know, everyone holds information. Everyone has, you know, whether you're a business, whether you're a hospital, whether you're a school, you have data, and you have to be able to access that data, and you have to be able to keep that data private. And that is a huge challenge when there are cyber criminals out there that are looking to steal it or expose it.
I just feel like everyone has it now, all of our all of our private information. I almost think that, and I wonder, Bree, you're an expert at this sort of stuff. I mean, is the growing field of biometrics the thing that's going to save us from people? Is that what we're going to be using now to buy things, to run commerce, so that, you know, things like the credit card numbers, social security numbers, they will matter less in the future? I know we're getting kind of big here, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely in my wheelhouse. Biometrics are great because you always have them with you, assuming the system works and you can log in. The problem with a lot of biometric things is you can't change them. You can't change your fingerprints. You can't change the iris of your eye. I mean, you can change the data points that the system is picking up, but it can be tricky. So you have to worry about that data being stolen and collected and breached.
Well,
but yeah, I mean, we use our social security numbers for way too much these days, and they are definitely out there. You know, if you think that your personal data, something like your social security number, has been stolen, think about a credit freeze. It's just, these days, it's just really dangerous.
Yeah. As I always say, just freeze all your credit. Only open it up and unfreeze it when you don't need it. It's actually really easy to do. I've done that. And my credit is...
I have as well.
My credit's frozen as a default. If I need a loan, I open it up. Bree, I've gone over time. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Thanks for having me.
John Hanson in for John Williams. I've heard of franchisees, obviously, for many fast food restaurants and other things. I guess it wasn't too much of a leap that some gyms are franchisees, and some people are probably nodding along like, yeah, John, that makes total sense. One of these companies is Fitness Premier 24/7 Clubs, and Fitness Premier Manhattan, there we go, is a spot that's opened up in Manhattan, Illinois, not Manhattan, New York. Make that mistake. And two of the folks that are running it is a couple. It's Christy and Jeff DeCiani. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff and Christy.
Hey, thanks, John.
Great to have you both on. Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started? How did you decide to open a gym or run a gym through this partnership?
Well, it's kind of a crazy journey, I guess. But, you know, it was a realization that, you know, I deserve to, or my family deserves me for a little, to be the best version of me that I can be and be here for as long as I can. So I started, you know, kind of investigating my own health and started my own personal journey to get in a better state, mentally, physically. And I thought, wow, this is really a great space to be in to help others also get that realization, you know, and then punish my family to be here as long as possible, of course.
Well, Christy, I know this is important to you, too. What is the gym like? Like, what sets you guys apart from maybe other gyms that we probably recognize the name of?
Well, Manhattan is a great community in itself. We find we have an 88-year-old lady who comes in every morning. She's walking around with her weights to as young as 13, 14 years old. So I think our wide span group of members really brings a different morale to the gym in helping one another and encouraging one another so that they keep coming back day after day.
And what does that look like? Is it, I mean, because when I picture a gym or a place to go, a club, I think of, you know, just the traditional things, treadmills and some weight equipment. Is that, I'm sure you guys have that stuff too, but what else?
Well, we have expanded. We believe in the wellness So that's either before you work out or after you work out. So we have a full recovery area suite. So we've included a cold plunge tub in there to elevate your workouts. We've also included a sauna that's about 180 degrees consistently, 24 hours. We also have a red light therapy panel, some massage chairs, and now we've ventured into assisted stretch to help members stretch out in a better fashion to help their workouts as well.
Jeff, you guys mentioned that Manhattan, a great community to live in. Is that kind of like what this club is about? It's an extension of that, still bringing people together, but on a health-minded platform?
It really is, John. It's a very tight-knit community. Everyone watches out for one another, but to get everybody in this space, it's very encouraging. Our group classes that we have, you see a lot of similar faces in there. They're friends or family outside of the club, but when they come in, they really promote each other, their well-being. They push each other hard, and they celebrate everybody's results.
That's a great aspect to have, for sure. I got to ask, I mean, how much does it cost to join? Not to put you guys on the spot, Christy, but I just am curious because sometimes people, this all sounds good, and then it becomes prohibitive to a lot of people to join a club. Are there different levels of membership? Like, what are we looking at, ballpark here?
There definitely is different levels. You know, so we have our basic entry-level package at $39 and some change a month.
Oh.
We've got some mid-tier packages that include some of those wellness activities as well. But, you know, hey, Can you really, and not to sound salesman-y, but can you really put a price on your health? And, you know, what is your health and your longevity towards your family and the betterment of your overall lifestyle really worth to you? You know, it's kind of hard to put a price on that.
I'm kind of curious how it works to become a franchisee of a gym. Like, do they approach people in the town, this company, and say, hey, we're looking for someone to do this, and boy, you just happen to match up? Or did you guys say, oh, we want to open a gym, or we want to be running a gym, let's look for a franchise that makes sense for us? Like, what comes first?
So we went on the hunt. We've been looking at several opportunities and different things over the years, and we settled on this. We came across Fitness Premier as an organization, and through several meetings and dialogues with the folks in charge, from, you know, CEO all the way down to some of the operators at the local clubs, we were really impressed with the support that they offered, the personalities. They care about their franchisees, they care about their members. It's a really tight-knit, family-like atmosphere, and we knew at that point we had to be a part of that. The support was 100%. And that family aspect was part of our decision.
How long have you guys been open for?
So the club itself has been there for the last several years. My wife and I have taken over in the last 5 months in now at this point, and we're kind of turning the tide and kind of rejuvenating things and you know, putting some, like the wellness area that we've added, the recovery suite, you know, so we're infusing some new life and new excitement back into the existing model.
Do you guys want to open up other ones in the area?
We'd love to. You know, right now our focus is on making Manhattan as the best it can be, but long-term goals, yes, we'd be looking at adding additional markets. And as overall, Fitness Premier itself is growing. When we joined up with them, we had 18 clubs, kind of centrally located here across the greater Chicago area. And that's already changed. We're adding clubs in Florida. We're adding clubs in South Carolina. We're adding clubs in Tennessee. And three are going in the Denver, Colorado area as we speak. So we're as a franchise, we're growing rapidly.
Christy, are you guys pretty intimately involved with the day-to-day running of the club right now? You show up every day and you know, kind of get involved. What excites you about this?
We are. Jeff is still on his own workout regimen, so he's pretty much there, gone. But he's there for a little while in the morning. But then I take over probably about 8 o'clock. I'm there, and we have a great staff there that can help anybody from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then that's Monday through Thursday, and then 8 to 12 on Friday and Saturday. So we really try to be there, even though we are 24/7,
we still have a good handful of people to help all our members out.
I think you guys have figured out a life hack. Just run a gym and then you have to stay in good fitness because you are the brand ambassadors for what you're bringing to the table. Kind of forces you into it. Jeff and Christy, we're out of time. It's Fitness Premier Manhattan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, best of luck. We'll see if some more open up soon. Okay, time for the Wintrust Business Minute. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A venture capital firm in Chicago that invests in real estate startups has raised a third fund that'll be used to back more tech firms. Chicago Inno reports Modern Ventures raised $230 million for the fund. Innovation Fund and Avalon Bay are among the investors. The firm has made more than 35 investments and backed more than 150 companies so far. Its focus has been on real estate finance, insurance, and home services startups. Modern Ventures was founded in 2008. Lawrence Fish Market is opening a second location in Chicago on the south side. Cranes reports the new location will be at 234 West 31st Street in the Armour Square neighborhood. The location is set to open in late October. It'll feature about 3,000 square feet and seat 40 people. Lawrence Fish Market began as a sushi-grade fish wholesaler in Chicago. Chicago-based McDonald's says its $5 value meal will stay on the menu until the end of the year. The meal includes four items, including a choice of McChicken or McDouble, four-piece chicken nuggets, fries, and a drink. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Earlier in the show, it was the business of dead celebrities. Now we get the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. It's about time to get those combines rolling and harvest corn again. And here's a guy who's been up to his ears in corn, but he isn't on a farm.
Chad Womack, marketing director on Brock's Candy for our candy company.
Aren't you like the king of candy corn?
You know, I secretly look in the mirror and call myself the king of candy corn occasionally.
Well, your secret's safe with me, Chad. So this is peak time of year for field corn, folks. It's also big for Chicago's very own Brock's.
It is. Fall marks candy corn season, and you can even say that in reverse, where candy corn marks the fall season. As you know, Brock's is the leading maker of candy corn. We're the number one producer, and we're actually celebrating our 120th anniversary this year.
And Brock's is doing it in a most unusual way, by inviting you to check into a candy corn decorated suite.
Yeah, the Brock's Candy Corn Suite. You see decor everywhere, decked out in the tricolors of orange, white, and yellow. There's linens, there's rugs, there's drapes, shower curtains, anything you can think of, and even more. Neon sign wall. And we've also, every room has the Brock's candy corn pantry cart, where guests can have as much candy corn and snacks as they want.
Yeah, that suite of sweet dreams is at Great Wolf Lodge in Gurnee, and only through Halloween.
That's correct. You can book now, and you can start staying beginning September 22nd through October 31st.
But of course, Brock's is about candy, not about hotel suites, and they have something special for the fall season.
And it's a Brock's mellow cream, so very similar to candy corn. Caramel apple, pumpkin spice, sweet maple, salted butterscotch, and spiced cider.
Brock's candy corn. A lot of people love it, but Brock's own research shows
72% of people agree that candy corn is polarizing.
And as for that suite at the Great Wolf Lodge,
it could sell out very fast.
On the food calendar, it's National Butterscotch Pudding Day, also National Pawpaw Day, also known as the Kentucky Banana, the Hillbilly Mango. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Derek Poitras joins us right now from Navy Pier, talking about the flyover that they've got going on. And Derek, thanks for hopping on the line with us.
Thanks for having me today.
Remind people about the flyover if people don't quite remember what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So flyover is an immersive flying journey that we opened back in March 1st, which gives people a completely different perspective of the city of Chicago that they've never experienced before.
Is it, does it move? Is it just a screen that's moving? Give us the sights and sounds, the feel.
That's right. So our experience is broken into three acts, and the first two acts start to build the story of Chicago, the different communities, the people, and the character. And then the final act is a multi-sensory moving ride where you step into this flying ride system in a giant spherical dome screen and literally fly over the city of Chicago in ways that that you may have never experienced before.
Why do people love it so much?
They love it so much because it tells a great story about the city. The reception so far since we've opened has been not only fantastic from the tourists who come to visit Navy Pier, but it's been really overwhelming to see how the reception has been from the locals as well. We've had repeat visitors from more locals than anything else coming back over and over again because of the incredible story it tells about Chicago.
That's awesome. Well, now you're flying over another place, yeah?
That's right. So just today, we have debuted our legendary Iceland feature, which transports people to the wonderful mountainsides and fjords and glaciers of Iceland.
Oh, I've been to Iceland. It's incredible. I didn't get to fly over it. Tell us a little bit more about the experience.
Yeah, so it's broken up very similarly to the Chicago experience, where the first two acts start to build the story of Iceland. We go deep into the lore of the historic stories of trolls and introduce you to the volcanoes and the glaciers and the different people. And then just like for Believe Chicago, that third act culminates in this incredible, majestic flying ride over the, like you said, the iconic and epic landscapes of Iceland.
Yeah, it is really an insane landscape, like nothing you've ever experienced. There's like not a lot of trees in Iceland. It's kind of like the moon in some places. It's really fascinating. How long is you mentioned three acts. I feel like I gotta get some popcorn or something during this thing. How long is this ride? Maybe ride's not the right word. Experience.
The entire experience is 30 minutes, but the ride portion is a little over 9 minutes of that 30 minutes. So the ride is a very good length.
Okay, so 30 minutes, that's a lot. That's a lot to chew on. Is it a matter of, you know, you sign up ahead of time exactly which time slot you want? Are there different, like, areas where this is happening, or is there just there's one at a time? Get your tickets for that spot, sign up, and show up at the right time?
Exactly. We have ticket times every 15 minutes. Chicago and Iceland run alternate of each other every 30 minutes. So you could come to the pier and see both features if you'd like.
Is Iceland the only other place we've been besides Chicago? And where are we going to next? Even though you just opened Iceland today, I'm already like, what's happening next?
That's a great question. So within our greater flyover family, we have a multitude of other locations that we are sure to bring to Chicago at some point, but I can't reveal all those secrets yet.
Is this a popular thing in other cities as well? Or are we the only flyover that exists?
We do have three other locations, of course, one in Iceland. We also have our original in Vancouver and then one on the Las Vegas Strip. And they all have the same storytelling experience, just like we do here in Chicago.
Cindy from Hoffman Estates just texted in. I did that flyover when my family visited from Minnesota. It was absolutely spectacular. Saw the city of Chicago like I've never seen it before. I imagine you have a lot of reviews that say something fairly similar.
We have a lot. We're very proud of the high ratings that we've maintained since we've opened in March. And it, like I said in the beginning, it really does resonate with a lot of people because it really gives you an excuse to fall in love with the city all over again.
We're all looking to pinch our pennies where we can. How much does this experience cost?
Absolutely. So for adults, it is $33.95, and for kids, it is $23.95. And if you choose to see both features, Believe Chicago and Legendary Iceland, you can get a double feature ticket at a discounted rate.
I love that double feature. And while you're there, explore the rest of the pier, I bet you'd encourage.
Absolutely. You can build a whole day around flyover and the pier.
Navy Pier. Someone just asked. Please ask where they're located.
That's right. Yes,
I hope Navy I mentioned Pier. That. Yeah, it's Navy Pier. Experienceflyover.com is where you want people to go. And you recommend tickets ahead of time, yeah?
Absolutely, especially on the weekends when Navy Pier can get a little busier.
All right, that's great stuff. Derek, this sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
That's Derek Poitras of Flyover at Navy Pier. Sounds really cool. I got to try that. I remember seeing some stories when they were building it up, and it looked a lot of fun. I do like that it's not 30 minutes of a ride. That might be a little dizzying for me. You get a couple experiences of that first.